Well, Merry Christmas, Crossroads. We do want to welcome you out, families that are visiting, and if you're new, we're so glad that you have chosen to join us this morning and as we celebrate Jesus' birth. And we do have a gift for you for each family. We've got this every single day devotional, and so as a church, and really as churches all throughout the state, we're going to be reading through the Old Testament in 2017, and so this is a gift to you that you can take with your family, and it begins on January the 1st. Some of the pastors of this church, some of the pastors throughout the state contributed to put this devotion together, so be sure to grab one of those on your way out. This morning, we're going to consider two explosive statements about Jesus Christ that cut history in half. They ushered in the kingdom of God, and these two statements became the cause of our celebration this morning. The gifts, the presents, the feasting, and these two statements became the hope every day of nations and of every human heart. And it's all found in these two lines. And it's the prophet Isaiah penned 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. As he wrote this in Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given." And these two lines are not two restatements of the same truth, but instead, each of these lines are a different announcement of the same person, Jesus Christ. So we'll take each in order. To us, a child is born. We celebrate on this day when 700 years later, a child was born in space and time. A young teenage girl, Mary, from a small, rural, backwoods town like Fairmont, Preston County, is visited by an angel, Gabriel. And she was told that she would bear a son, and his name would be, do you know? Jesus, you're in the right place. But this tiny baby in the manger is no mere sentimental idea to give you the feels and to make your heart feel warm once a year. But this child being born was God himself, infinite creator of the universe, being created in space and in time as a man. Colossians says, "In him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell," that there in the manger, in Jesus, that infant crying in the manger, God himself dwelled. This child being born is God being made like us in every way. Why? Why would God become man? Why was this child born to us? Why didn't God in Christ come as God on display in all of his power to crush those who oppose him, to rule and reign in power? The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 2:17, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, that's Christmas, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God and to make propitiation for the sins of the world. This child born to us, swaddled and lying in a manger, is God being made like us in every way in order that he might be the only way to salvation with God. So when you see Jesus in the manger, when you sing songs like Away in a Manger, when you set up your nativity and you see this Christ child, think that is God being made just like me in every way. In every way, Jesus cried and he grew and he ate and he drank and he got sick and he struggled and he rejoiced and he suffered just like me. Jesus was tempted in every way just like me. And yet unlike me, Jesus was without sin. The prophet writes, a child is born to us so that he might become a faithful high priest and to make propitiation for the sins of his people. That baby in the manger was born, therefore, to die for your and my sin. The hope in the manger is found on the cross of Good Friday. That's what it means to make propitiation. It's a big word. It simply means that child would grow up to hang on a cross and there satisfy the wrath of God against the sin of his people. You and I, all of us are sinners. Nobody's perfect. We all say that. But God is. He is light, in him is no darkness. And the unexpected hope of the universe is that God loves sinners like you and I. And that God is just, unlike us. And so God became a man to mete out justice for our sin in his own body, so that sinners like you and I and any of us could be loved by God welcomed to God and God still remained good. And this is the cosmic plan of the ages. Have you ever felt like God is against you? Perhaps you're here this morning and you feel like God is fighting your every move. Well, the scriptures show God has been for you for all of human history and before then. Before you were born, God was working his plan to redeem you. But before you ever had a chance to walk away from God or to give thought of returning to God, God loved you. And with no half-hearted love, but a love that has worked itself out across millennia, a love that has been paid an insurmountable cost to bring you to this very moment, on this very morning, in this very place, to see the glory of his Son in Jesus. In demonstrating his love, in that while you and I were still sinning, this child was born, who is Christ the Lord, to die for you. God looked at you just as you are, sinful, broken, giving no thought to God whatsoever. And he said, I want that man, I want that woman as my son, as my daughter. And then God looked at his son, Jesus, and said, will you go and be born for them and to die for them? And Jesus willingly went. And he was made like us in every way that he might have a body that could be offered for sin. Not his sins, he had none, but for the sins of his people, you and I. Because to us, a child is born to live and die for sin, God could say to his people, you are not condemned for your sins. You won't be punished for your sins because Jesus has been condemned. Jesus has been punished for you as a man in your place. Unto us is born a child to die for our sin. That's the first reason a child is born. The second reason is this: that baby in the manger was born to live for your obedience. If Jesus died for your sin and the penalty of your sin was gone, that would be great for a moment, but I'm still a sinner, so I would sin again tomorrow, this very afternoon, and would screw up the whole thing. So I need not only forgiveness from sin, I need also freedom from its power. If your house is falling down and it's filled with mold, the government comes by and they stick a sign in the yard that says, condemned, that thing's coming down. And then sometime later, the government comes in and says, we've changed our minds. We're removing the sign. Your house is no longer condemned. Well, that doesn't make your living condition any better. And so many see Christ as merely offering forgiveness for sin, just removing the condemned sign so that the end of your life, condemned sign is gone. But Christ was born not only to die in your place, to remove condemnation for your and my sin, but to live in your place for your obedience to God, to change your living condition, to renovate the whole house. We don't just need Jesus to die a death that we deserve. We also need Jesus to live a life we have not lived, one without sin. And as a faithful high priest, he did just that. This child was born and he grew and he faced every temptation you and I have faced. He experienced every hardship you and I have faced, but he did not sin in word or thought or deed, but he lived a life of love and of peace and of righteousness and goodness and obedience, the life that we only dream of, so that he could be for you your righteousness, your obedience, and your goodness before God. So that God could look at you and say, not only are you not condemned for your sins, but you are made righteous because of Jesus' obedience in your place. Unto us is born a child to live for our obedience. Now, were Jesus unlike us in any way, there would be no way for us to be saved. But because Jesus became just like us in every way, he is the only way of our salvation before God. Because he lived for our obedience and died for our sin, and that is why we celebrate a child being born. That's the first statement. The second statement is this: unto us a son is given. We celebrate on this day not only that a child was born to Mary, but that a son was given. Jesus was born as a child, but he was given as the Son of God. He eternally existed with the Father. And at Christmas, we celebrate the day the very Son of God was himself given to us. If Jesus were not man, he could not have died for us. But if Jesus were not God, he could not have risen for our life. Jesus is both God and man. John 1:14, Jesus' cousin and one of his best friends wrote this: God, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. He became a man and lived with us. We have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, the two things we so desperately need. What a paradox. What a mystery. Omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal Son of God would become a man. And not just a man, but the most vulnerable of creations, a zygote, an infant, to be born. As a child, Jesus became like us in every way, that he may sympathize with our weakness, that he may live a life we have not lived, that he may die for our sins. And yet as the Son of God, Jesus was given to make us like him, to restore our humanity by uniting us with divinity, to adopt us as sons and daughters of God, to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, to heal the deformity of our sin, and to restore our humanity as worshipers of God. This is the hope of the nations and every human heart. For the sinner, for the weary, for the worn, for those who just don't feel like it's Christmas this year, but for the lost, for the lowly, for those who have experienced loss, for the ungodly, for the broken, for the ruined, for the confused, a son is given. And the question you need only ask yourself on this most special morning is, was this child born for me? Was this child born to die for my sin? Was this child born to live for my righteousness? Was this Son of God given to me? This child is born to you if you are born again. This Son is given to you if you are a son or daughter of God. And this Son of God is given to you if you are given to him. John explains this in chapter 1, verse 12, as he writes, "To all who did receive him," that's Jesus, this child, this son, "who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." John writes, to those of us who give our sin to Jesus, believing in him for our life of obedience and our death for sin and his resurrection for our life, we are adopted and made as children of God. It's that simple. Have you ever noticed how gloriously simple this gospel is? Believe in Jesus. Look to Jesus. That's what God wants for you this morning. That's what this child was born to give. That's what this Son came to give. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing here this morning. He is opening your eyes to see Jesus as God, to see Jesus living for your life, to see Jesus dying for your sin, to see Jesus bringing you the hope of a new life, a restored humanity with God. If you are not given to God, would you look to Jesus this morning? It's the simplest thing in the world. It's also the hardest thing in the world to turn your eyes from yourself to Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is doing that very work in you this morning. You may have showed up with family. You may have showed up visiting. You may just be here because it's family tradition. And yet God has orchestrated and worked in the narrative of your life to bring you to this moment. Because God loves you and the Spirit of God is at work in you. Christ is here, given for you. Would you give yourself to him? You can repent of your sin. You can trust in Jesus. You can receive eternal life here and now and enter God's kingdom. To all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Are you born again? Are you a child of God? Would you give yourself to God, your life, your sin, your all? To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Let's pray. Father, thank you that on this day of all days, this morning of all mornings, this dawn of newness and life, that we celebrate a moment in history that has had implications for all of eternity, that the plan of the ages, that you who loved a people who had turned from you like us, a people who had sinned, a people who had rebelled, and God, that you did not sit back and wait for us to find you, to work to get to you, but instead you looked and you came into human history as a baby, as a man, as a child who was born. as a son who is given, that might live a life we haven't lived and die the death that we should have died and resurrect to give to us grace and truth, mercy and forgiveness, all in the name of Jesus, apart from any work of our hands, but by grace and through faith. And so I pray for my friends that don't yet know you, that on this morning they would receive the gift of all gifts, the gift of knowing you. And I pray you would be for them, their life, their righteousness, and their eternal joy on this morning. For your name we pray, and in your name we sing and we celebrate and we rejoice on this happy morning. Amen. Merry Christmas.